Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Syrma SGS Technology Limited, hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Michelle. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Syrma SGS Technology Q2 FY24 earnings call. I would like to welcome the senior management from the company and thank them for this opportunity. Without any further delay, I'll now hand over the conference to Mr. Nikhil Gupta, Investor Relations of Syrma. Over to you, Nikhil.
Yeah, thank you, Bhoomika. Hi, very good morning to all. Welcome to Syrma SGS second quarter and half-year fiscal 2024 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. J.S. Gujral, Managing Director of Syrma SGS, Mr. Jayesh Doshi, Director, Mr. Vijay Agrawal, Chief Financial Officer of Syrma SGS, to discuss the performance of the company during the second quarter and half-year fiscal 2024, followed by a detailed question-and-answer session. During the session, certain statements that will be made are forward-looking, which involve several risks, uncertainties, assumptions, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. All forward-looking statements made herein are based on the information presently available to the management, and the company does not undertake to update any forward-looking statements that may be made in the course of this call. In this regard, please do review the disclaimer statements in the earnings release and all other factors that can cause a difference. With this, I will now hand over the call to Mr. J.S. Gujral, Managing Director of Syrma SGS. Thank you so much.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to be with you again to discuss with you the performance of the company in the Q2 FY23-24 and the half-year ended September 2023. We continue to grow at a scorching pace of 45%-50%+ quarter-on-quarter over the last four, five, six quarters. This quarter, we have grown the turnover has grown by about 52%, and if I compare it with the half-year, we have grown by about 55% this year. At this pace, we are very confident that the pace of growth will continue, the momentum will continue into the future, and at least for the next 2-3 years, we see growth hovering upwards of 35% on an overall basis. EBITDA margins this year's quarter, operating EBITDA margins are at 7% after a one-time charge-off of expenses related to the acquisition of JDHL, but for which the margins would have been higher by about 0.5% or 0.6%. Overall, we are very confident of the business, and what we believe is that we are building an enterprise for the future. Our guidance for this year's revenue and EBITDA margins, EBITDA in absolute terms, stands intact. Typically, first half-year of any financial year is accounting for about 45% of the overall annual revenues, and we expect that this trend would continue, and we would be there with the figures which we had indicated to you. There's been no significant variation in the mix of revenues quarter-on-quarter. On year-on-year, there has been a slight increase of revenues of the consumer business, and the growth in the consumer segment is primarily coming in from build-to-print of vanilla EMS, which inherently have lower margins. The previous year, the consumer business accounted for was on ODM basis, which has a higher margin. Automotive continues to be about a fourth of our revenue, with consumer about a little more than a third, industrial a little more than a fourth of our revenue. Healthcare has seen a slight revival in the last quarter. As I had indicated in my earnings calls of June, we expected the healthcare to close at about 35 plus crores this quarter, and we are there with that figure in this quarter. But since the non-healthcare business is growing at a much higher pace, the percentage of healthcare as a percentage of total revenue comes down. But in absolute terms, the healthcare is going up. Exports as a percentage of sales account for about 27%, and they have accounted for a growth of about 12% quarter on quarter and 9% year on year. Now this again is a play of a domestic demand going up significantly. The domestic demand business has grown by 78%. So when a domestic leg of the business grows at 78%, the export as a percentage of total revenue comes down. But in absolute terms, the export business continues to grow. We had started the journey with three objectives in mind. One was growth at industry plus average, EBITDAs of 10% and working capital of about 70 days. On the two legs, we are on track, and it's only in EBITDA there is a small lag because of the product mix which has changed. We internally monitor the margins based on industry verticals, and we don't find a decline in any margin in the industry vertical. It's only the composition of the revenue change which has resulted in a reduction in the overall EBITDA margins, and also for the one-time charge which I just alluded to earlier. On operating efficiencies, I'm happy to share with you that we have had an operating efficiency of approximately 5% in overhead compared to half year of last year. And going forward, we believe that we can further improve on this reduction. Now, as far as the future growth of the business is concerned, we are very confident of maintaining this growth rate. On the specific question of exports, the customers which we had onboarded earlier this year, which was in Q4 of FY23 or calendar year this year, the prototyping, the sampling have all started, and the production is on stream in line with what we had projected. And we expect these new customers, multinational customers in exports, to yield a significant revenue of 200 crores plus in the coming year, which is the financial year 24-25. 23-24 is the prototyping and the NPI in the sampling of the things. And once we are able to service these customers in 24-25. They are global customers with billions of dollars of electronic spend. We believe and we are very confident that we would be able to significantly uptake our wallet share with these customers. Again, because the domestic demand traction is very, very high, the export as a percentage may hover at around 30% against our wish list of 1/3. Similarly, we had shared with you last time that we had set up a separate design and services center, design and engineering center in April of this year, which is headed by senior colleagues from the company. During this quarter, we have beefed up our marketing presence for design services in US and UK. These are initial stages of work in progress, and I am very confident that going forward in the FY24-25, the design and engineering business of the company will be a mainstay for the growth of ODM and also accretion to the EBITDA and the profit margin. These are early days, but we are investing a lot of resources in manpower and processes in the design center, so that in the coming years, this will contribute to the profitable growth of the company. On the CapEx cycle, we are on track. We had promised, or we had shared with you, that we would be spending about 250 crores on this year, apart from the acquisition. So if I exclude the acquisition of JDHL, we have already spent about 110 crores this year, and the balance is on steam. The plants, the plants which we had started early this year, they are on track, and we expect the new facilities, the greenfield new facilities, to start yielding revenues in 24-25. As I shared, all the plans, CapEx plans which we are doing this year are targeted for 24-25. On the business front, I would also like to share with you that we have signed up with one of the largest IoT manufacturers in the world. And we have done the sampling production, and they have passed the test, and currently their engineers are, you know, factories to stabilize the production processes based on global standards. And this IoT application has a variety of application in engineering, telecom, and other energy metering, telecom, and other applications. And we see a significant uptick in this business. That's all from me. I hand over to Vijay to run you through the financials, and then I open for any question and answers. Thank you.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone. I'll now quickly take you through the brief financials for this quarter and half year ended September 2023. So before I start, I would like to highlight that the lastly announced acquisition of JDHL, we have been able to complete the same 51% acquisition of JDHL, and we have already consolidated the financials of JDHL in this quarter results. I'm delighted to say that the company has again registered a strong revenue growth during the quarter, with a 51-52% year-on-year growth and also 55% growth for the half year. Similar way, our gross profit also increased by almost 9% on year-on-year basis for the quarter and 22% for the half year. Happy to share that our team strength has demonstrated on the operating efficiency we have been able to achieve in this quarter. Thereby, our overheads as a percentage of revenue has decreased by almost 4-4.5%. We still continue to work on this further, and going forward, we expect larger operating efficiency in the P&L. In this current quarter, there have been few one-time expenses also been factored in our other expenses, which includes consulting expenses related to JDHL acquisition and few other expenses for about 4-4.5 crore rupees. EBITDA for this quarter is 58 crore and for the H1 is 117 crore, which is almost 28% higher on a year-on-year basis. This quarter, we had a very lower tax, and primarily because Sigma, my parent entity, has now moved to the new tax regime. That was a change here. So going forward, we expect now on a consolidated basis, we will be, on a steady-state basis, we will be in the range of 25-26% of overall average tax for the group. Coming to PAT for H1, it was about 59 crores and again a growth of about 28% on a year-on-year basis. Order book side, while Gujarati has already updated, we have almost a total open order book of approximately 3,800 crore rupees, and out of which about 3,000 to 3,200 crore is what we expect we should be able to complete in another next 12 months. Coming to our net working capital days, on average basis, my net working capital days investment as of now, as of September end, is approximately 70 days, which is almost 3 days higher than the number which we reported in our last quarter, and primarily because of higher inventory carrying right now. We expect we should be able to furthermore achieve a saving of approximately 5 to 7 days from these numbers in next 2 to 3 quarters. Coming to our overall debt position, my debt position as on September end is approximately 420 crore rupees, out of which near about 330 is working capital and about 90 crore is in term loan. Again, against which we have been carrying a total treasury of approximately 545 crore rupees. So I'm carrying a net cash position of approximately 125 crore as on September end. With respect to the capex, as Gujarati has already updated, we had already spent almost 110 crore rupees in the H1, out of which about 60 crore we had spent in the last quarter. and in totality, we are already on track against our previous estimation of 200 to 250 crores of spend for this particular financial year. Just to update, our project in Hosur has already kicked off. We have already acquired the land on lease basis over there. We'll be now starting the construction, the rest of the work for that particular project. So there will be a decent capex spend which we are expecting in the next two quarters for about 100 to 140 odd crore rupees. That is all, and now I can hand over to Bhumika to open the forum for questions and answers.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Aniket Pandey from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand which exactly products you are selling into your consumer business, because if you look at your material margin, they have almost halved in this first half of FY24. So just wanted to get a sense on that. Secondly, on your gross margin profile, going forward, you know, what are the levers you have to take up your gross margin again to 30% and higher band?
Okay, now I'll take that question. It has a two-leg question. The first is the product profile. Three verticals which are accounting for about 75-80% of our revenues are the consumer, the automotive and industrial. Automotive and industrial, it's a secular migration from one customer to the other customer, like addition of new customers all over there. So we do not see a significant negativity. In fact, there's a positive improvement on the margins on these two fronts. In the consumer segment, what has happened, as I shared with my earlier in my earlier comments, that last year we were primarily guessing with the ODM product, which is my own design products. Whereas from somewhere early last quarter of the last financial year and then this year, the consumer business growth has primarily come in from the EMS, the vanilla EMS or build to print, where the margins internationally are very, very competitive. And hence you see a big reduction in the material margin between the last year and this year. Now what we do in our internal analysis is, that is my ODM, am I maintaining or increasing the margins of ODM? It's the nature of the product which has changed, which has resulted in the margin profile reduction. It is not that the products inherently being manufactured by us over the last several decades have shown a decline. So it's a composition mix. Now the composition mix is a business decision to capture the market. It gives you additional expansion plans. It could be working capital accretive. So all those things. Our margins are currently at about, gross material margins are at about 24%. If they can go up, or they will go up only when my exports kick off, as I shared, with my exports coming in next year for the clients onboarded this year. The current year export growth is only vanilla growth from my existing clients. The real push in the exports will come in the next year. And with the uptick in the healthcare business, I expect healthcare business to be a significant uptick next year. From about, I think, last year it was about 110-120 crores, it should be at least twice or maybe more than twice that in the coming year. So these three factors, aided by the design and engineering efforts which will fructify next year, I expect the margins sector-wise to go up. in absolute terms, if my vanilla consumer business goes up by a higher percentage, as a percentage the margins may hover at 27, 26 or whatever, but in absolute terms, there will be a significant growth. So we keep both the things into mind, the percentage and the absolute. I hope I have answered your question.
Mr. Pandey, do you have any further questions?
No.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Anirudh Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Excluding the Johari acquisition, I guess it is included for 1 month or 3 months in the quarter. And excluding Johari, what would be the standalone growth rate numbers for revenue, EBITDA, PAT? That's one info. Secondly, the margins have been very volatile. So any explicit guidance you would like to give for EBITDA margins for H2 FY24? That is second question. And third question is, we have been hearing a lot of news flows on the manufacturing of laptops and other IT products in India. While there are, again, from government also the dates are changing a lot. But have you seen any inquiries and any view on that market for how much revenue potential is there, how much revenue opportunity is there for Syrma on that account? Yeah.
So there are four questions which you've asked. The first one is the revenue growth without consolidating 1 month of digital. I think there will be hardly a 0.1% difference in the overall revenue with the Johari digital acquisition sort of consolidation this year. So when I say it is 55%, 52% or 55%, it will be 51.9% or all. There will be no significant change. In EBITDA, there would be slight change. Instead of a 28% growth in EBITDA, it would come to about 26%+ growth in EBITDA. The full impact of the positive impact of this acquisition will only kick in the next 6 months when we consolidate that. Now, you refer to the volatility in the margins. As I shared in my earlier question, the volatility in the margins is because of change of product mix. What worries me as a promoter or as an entrepreneur is my businesses were having a volatile margin. For example, my automotive business continues to be at a stable margin. In fact, there is a positive increase this half year. Similarly, my industrial business continues to be at that margin. The volatility has kicked in only because of change in the nature of consumer business which we are doing from ODM to OEM. So I wouldn't call it a volatility. I would call it a change in the mix. And if a lower margin business grows at a higher rate, obviously there is an impact on the overall percentages. We believe, as I shared in my previous question, that with the exports kicking in from the customers onboarded this year and the design and engineering efforts fructifying, coupled with the healthcare business showing a rebound, we should see an uptick in the margins, percentage margins in the coming quarters and medium term. What we are also very cognizant or mindful is of the absolute numbers which we make. And once my business is growing at this pace in absolute figures, and second half is normally better than the first half, historically if we see, I believe that it will help us in attaining the guidance which we had shared with you. Your fourth question was on IT laptops. The IT policy, I am told, will be announced this week or early next week. Once the IT policy is announced, then tie-up with the potential customers will begin. So it's a chicken and egg story. A customer doesn't want to tie up without a IT PLI policy in your favor. So if you are one of the recipients of the IT PLI. It will be a digital story. If the people, the companies who get IT PLI and are able to tie up with big customers, the revenue growth will not be in hundreds of 200 crores, it will be in thousands of crores. But we should be mindful of the factor that an IT product inherently is like a mobile phone. So it is a low margin or a comparatively tighter margin, but high volume, positive on working capital. So the percentage margins would go down, but the absolute figures would go up. I hope, Anuradha, I've answered your questions.
Yeah. So, very helpful. Just lastly, now we are simplifying the group structure with some of the subsidiaries getting merged with Syrma. So, any synergy benefits that you would like to call out? Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Synergies, if consolidations, as we had shared, has already taken place. Just that the expenses or whatever assets are housed in two, three different legal entities. Going forward, once the complete merger takes place, that merger per se would result in saving of the compliance cost, a more efficient fund management because the entire treasury or the funds of the company are housed in one entity rather than in two entities, so it will be a more efficient utilization of funds. Per se with the merger, the operational efficiencies, I wouldn't attribute it to the merger. The compliance and efficient use of funds would have a direct, are a direct impact of the merger. The operational efficiencies, for example, 5% reduction in overheads compared to the last half year has already kicked in. And this is an ongoing process and will continue to it, but I cannot directly attribute it to the merger except for the compliance and the efficient use of working capital.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your question to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Alok Deshpande from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So just one question from my side. Given that our consumer segment is growing the fastest, do you expect a much bigger reduction in working capital given the asset turns are more and working capital reduction? So can our ROC go up because of that?
Yes, end of the day, when we take business, we evaluate various parameters. And typically, in a low margin business, the asset turn and the working capital as a positive feature. The negative feature is the low margin or comparatively low margin. The positive is the working capital, the cash flows and the asset turn. And as this business grows up, we would definitely see the uptick in both the asset turn and a better efficient utilization of working capital. Now, the we are growing at 50-odd%. You have to keep the capacities ready for the new customers. And hence, the tangible returns which should have come are not visible. If I was to exclude the assets which have not fructified on a full-time basis, my asset turns are already upward of 6x. But because the capacities are being created for the new customers and new products, there's always a time lag between the creation of the capacity and its utilization. But yes, with the consumer business, we'll see positive on both the things which you mentioned. That's the sector and the working capital.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for your answer. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Venkatesh Balasubramaniam from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. My question is all related to revenue and EBITDA. You know, all of them are interrelated questions. In one of your answers, you alluded to the fact that about your guidance. So can you once again clarify what exactly is your guidance for revenue and EBITDA margins for the current year? Because we are not aware of any guidance. Because even in the last quarter, you didn't mention about any guidance. So can you please clarify clearly what is the guidance for revenue and EBITDA margins? On a related note, you also mentioned that in the first half, normally you do 45% of your yearly revenues. Based on that, back of the envelope, it looks like you're possibly talking about full year revenues of roughly 3,000 crores or 30 billion. And on a related note again, your EBITDA margins in the first half is 8.7%. What is something that we should bake in for the full year? Would it be 8.7% or will it improve slightly? And if it improves, where does this go to for the full year?
Okay. I think you're bang on when I shared, absolute future projections is one issue, but we do share the guidance. And when I said that we grow, the first half is approximately 45%, so whether the final figure is 2,900, 3,000, 2,800, 50 or 3,100, that is, we'll sort of share when it happens. But you're right, the first, based on this, we expect to be around the figure which you indicated. I can't pinpoint the exact to the 50 crores, whether it will be this or that, because these are long-term contracts and market situations in the last month would vary, where a one-week delay in a billing could result in a lower turnover. On EBITDA also, you have shared the percentages, and as a logical thing, that if we achieve the revenues which we are expecting, we will get some operational efficiencies kicking in, and we should be able to achieve what you have pointed out in your question.
So, okay. So, you're basically telling if you do get to, let's say, 3,000 crores kind of revenues, 9.2% kind of margins is possible.
I'm not holding 9.2 or 10. I'm saying we should be there.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. All the very best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Meet Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have one question regarding the order book mix. So if you can provide order book mix in terms of your end user and also in terms of export. And my other question is regarding anything you are doing for the backward integration, like for PCB manufacturing or OSAT thing. Can you shed some light on that?
Okay, while we're pulling out the figures, the order book is approximately 3,800 crores as of 30th of September. Against, I think it was 3,000 odd crores as on 30th of June. The breakup we are just pulling out. Till then, I'll answer the other two questions. We are evaluating OSAT or ATMP as we call it, but as yet we have not taken a final decision, because we are very mindful of the capex cycle in this, which is a huge capex. So we are very cautious in evaluating this project. So it is still, let's put it, WIP. And as I had shared in my last call, this project does not have any first mover advantage, simply because the Indian companies would be tying up with a foreign partner and stuffing his supply chain. Or his supply chain will migrate from his existing location to India. So it's not that I'm ceding a market to competition. Till that project is set up in India by the technology partner, he would continue to supply from his existing manufacturing location. So it's still a work in progress. On PCB, we have given it a thought, but when we scan around, we find that none of the EMS companies are into PCB. And I would give benefit of doubt to their global intelligence, whether it is a Foxconn or a Flex or a Jabil or a Sanmina, and I can go on naming. And they're all multi-billion dollar companies. None of them is into the PCB manufacturing. And PCB manufacturing is a chemical industry. If the growth in my core competency, which is electronics manufacturing, I see a significant growth for the foreseeable future, I wouldn't like to spread thin my management and my capital allocation on this industry. The industry has to have a sync and in line with our core competency. So as of date, PCB, we are not evaluating. But OSAT, we are evaluating and we are mindful of it.
on the order book side, approximately 20% of our order book is related to the export business, and the balance is related to the domestic business.
In terms of end user mix, like auto, healthcare, consumer?
In that, if you see broadly, about 20% is towards auto, and similar way about 20% towards industrial business, and about 10 to 15% is related to healthcare, IT and railways business, and about 45 to 50% is related to consumer business.
See, I'd just like to add on this, the export business is just onboarded the customers when doing the sampling. So what we have is the contracts and we don't have the firm orders. So we don't call it a firm order till a purchase order is physically received into a system. So on the visibility of exports, I have shared with you that the new customers which you have onboarded should give us 200 crores of revenue next year. All of them, we may not have had the orders in hand. We have contracts with them. The consumer business has a better visibility because now it's a mature business with us, and hence well, we have contracts for a longer period. But we believe that going forward, the ratio of consumer accounting for about a third, automotive and industrial accounting for about a fourth, healthcare accounting for about 7-8%, and remaining IT without the IT PLI, the current organic IT products which we are doing. If we get the IT PLI and we are able to tie up with a potential customer, then the IT revenues will have a significant uptake. But in all our guidance which we are giving, we are not taking the incremental revenues which would accrue from the IT PLI should we get one.
So, just to clarify, you're saying one-third, our target will be one-third from the consumer side, 7 to 8% from the healthcare side, one-fourth revenue from order book from?
Sorry?
So, one-fourth order book you mentioned will be?
20, and you can say maybe healthcare, IT and railway is about 15% and similar way, the out consumer is 45.
That's the order book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for the opportunity. You know, while most of the questions are answered, I just have one question which I wanted to continue from the earlier participant. Now, you very clearly guided about the revenue, and you also talked about margin through a combination of operating leverage, merger benefits, and rising share of exports. When you compare FY24 through a combination of all these kind of things, what is the benefit that you are looking for? And to make things easier, could you also talk about the margin differential that you would have between your domestic business and your export business? Thank you.
Domestic versus export, the export is higher by about 5 to 7 percentage points. So when I say my gross material margin is about 24%, it would automatically mean that there would be some products which would be at 30-35%, 34% gross material margin, some products which would be lower at lower than 24, and hence the average of 23-24%. So there is a differentiation of 4-5-7% depending on the industry which we are serving between the exports and the domestic. Healthcare similarly is a high margin business. But within the domestic business, I think the margin profile of automotive is slightly more tighter than industrial. Industrial is slightly more accretive to the margin. Consumer is sort of the tightest. And one thing which I would like to share with all is that in the consumer, we are supplying products which are covered under PLI. The PLI incentives have not been factored in the margin profile which I have shared with you or which are depicted in the accounts. We are entitled to a 6% PLI, and then it goes to 5.5% or 5%. So let's take for the next 2 years it is 6% or 5%. That margin has not been considered in the margin book in the financial statement. They will be accounted for only when they are physically received in the bank. whatever we receive and whatever we share with our potential customers or existing customers, the net accretion, if I was to share, say, a 50% margin, then a 3% accretion on the telecom products which I supply, if I was to share one, two-thirds and one-third. So for a rough indication, for the last year, our PLI is about 9 crore rupees. So if I have to share two-thirds, 3 crores gets added to my EBITDA. If I share half, 4.5 crores gets added to EBITDA. And this year, based on whatever we have done and what we are projected to do in the next 6 months, I am expecting a PLI of approximately 45 to 50 crore rupees. Now, if I share one-third or two-thirds with the customer, 15 crore rupees still comes into my balance sheet. If I share half, it is 25. These are negotiations, for commercial negotiations, but we have not factored in the PLI in these things. So hence, the margins are tighter.
That is very helpful. And this PLI, where are we accounted for in your P&L?
We are not accounted for today because we have not received it today.
Last year, I'm talking about last year.
Also, we have not received. Once we receive, we'll account for it this year.
So, conservatively,
it's not on an accrual basis. On a conservative basis, we will account for it only when the money is in the bank. The applications have been filed. They are under the process of evaluation and scrutiny. So, say, hypothetically, I get the PLI in February. I'll account for it in the quarter of January to March. So, these financials don't have a reflection of PLI at all.
And you will account it in other income, I would imagine.
That will go by the guidance of what the industry practice is and what the institute or the auditor's advice. We'll go by the industry practice. I don't know how Dixon and other companies which have already received it. I'll ask Vijay to go through it and it will be accounted for in the main income.
So this should come as other operating income, you are right, as per the accounting standard. And nothing will be guided by the auditors here in this particular case.
Sure. Thank you very much and all the very best.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks a lot for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my side. Sir, firstly, if you can give me what was the JDHL growth in the first half and what was the revenue consolidated in Q2, if any? That is number two. And then I have few follow-up.
So JDHL in this quarter, we have only maybe less than a month kind of a performance is what we have considered because we acquired that particular entity on 6th of September. So the revenues are less than 10 crore rupees and similar way very minor EBITDA and PAT has been added in this particular quarter. Going forward, it should be a normal full complete performance which will be consolidated. And the revenue growth, when we are seeing, as Mr. Bajral has previously explained, the growth numbers will be broadly similar. So like instead of 55%, you can consider 54.5% of the revenue growth on H1 basis. And same way, EBITDA and PAT growth, which we have been saying 28%, that can come down to 26.5% and 27% broadly.
For JDHL?
Any, that is for our performance excluding JDHL.
No, sir, what I want to know is that JDHL first half performance, since you consolidated, what was the JDHL's first half growth?
That is, we can provide you separately of
the if we have accounted for JDHL only for 1 month.
Correct. But at least we must be now having 6 months of performance of JDHL, right?
Yeah, we can share it. I don't have the figures immediately off the line. But I think it is a sort of a flattish sort of a growth, maybe 5-7%. There's no significant growth in the overall thing because we took the overall figures of the financial year last year. But what we are very confident is that we have acquired a platform and in the coming years we are putting in a system. Now we have already put in a system of how do we run that operation more efficiently than what it was being run and how do we address the markets which are available. And there are a lot of interesting products which are in the pipeline over there. and we have got some central government approval. We are tying up with one of the renowned Indian brands for the medical devices for servicing, supplying it to him. So we are confident and bullish on the growth in the portfolio of JBHL and healthcare, which we already have.
Okay.
But the exact figures, your question, I think Vijay will, you can connect with Vijay or Nikhil. They will share with you the figures offline. We don't have that published information for the first 6 months of the last year versus first 6 months of the this year, because we had only consolidated 1 month figure and we had a separate account audited.
Sir, second question is, if I consider, let's say, JBHL flat number last year, then in second half, at least we will do a healthcare revenue of around 200 crore, considering the 51 crore run rate from your existing business and remaining coming from JBHL. Then basically what we are talking is a gross margin of 24%, because your healthcare mix will change. So that will lead to a second half gross margin of around 24%. But despite that, are we like if I do that math, then probably we will be short of in our EBITDA margin even lesser than 9%.
See, finally on this thing, we would consolidate the figures, and whether it is 9%, whether it is 8.5%, as I said, we are into a marathon and not a sprint. And I'm honestly, while quarter-on-quarter performances and figures are very, very important and the markets and the analysts are very sensitive to it. But we, being in the business for the long haul, while we are mindful for it, while we are sensitive to it, but we are not hung up about it. I am looking at the long-term picture of the company. A minor aberration here, a minor aberration there, it's part and parcel of the business. Is my long-term story intact? The answer is a big, firm yes, in bold letters, font 25. So we're very confident of that. So let's leave it at that and we can discuss it in detail. I'm looking at the global, overall long-term picture. One quarter here, there, I'm sensitive to it. It hurts me, I'm sort of alive to it. But I'm not hung up about it that I would sacrifice my long-term objectives and vision for achieving the short-term objective. So we are very mindful of that.
So sir, basically what we are trying to understand, or probably everybody is trying to understand one thing, that sir, obviously top-line growth is important, but there should be certain benchmarks that below that we will not go on the EBITDA margin, right? See, basically at a low margin, every business is available, right? But there should be a certain benchmark that beyond below that we will not go, right?
See, even today, if I was to not include the one-time write-off, we are at about 8%, 7-8% of operating EBITDA, financial income ko chhodke. So, I think that should be a fair guidance to all of us that where the company is going. Now, short-term aberrations would happen if the product profile, product mix changes. Please appreciate that. But long-term story should remain intact. And that's what we have shared. Right from the beginning, we have been sharing that we should be about double digit. Now, I'm not saying 12%, 11%. We have always been maintaining we should be about double digit. And we still maintain that on a long-term. Short-term, there has been a small lag in it. How will we achieve that in the future? We have already shared our strategy of export being about one-third of our revenues. And design-led manufacturing being about 25%, which is currently 18%. Now, once these two, three things fall in place over a period of time, we should achieve the percentages which you had suggested. But we should also be mindful, what is the absolute quantum we make? End of the day, percentages are very, very critical. But what is the absolute money in the books which we earn? That is also very important. So it's a play of all these things. There's no simple black and white answers to this.
And also the low margin business comes with its advantages also. It's been bringing about the businesses as well as the working capital. Look at the impact on the working capital and the cash flows, the generation to the cash flows and the reduction in the working capital. So I think it's a great balance to have it. And if this one-time expense would not be there, we are on the track, as Mr. Gujral said, on the margins also. So, presenting everything and a long haul is just not an aberration also, even for passing in one quarter, because a lot of companies, they capitalize the number of one-time expenses to the investment, which has not happened here. So, in mindful about that, the new businesses or the businesses which are growing also attracts a lot of other businesses as well as working capital positions. I mean, in most of the cases here, look at the reduction from 98 days of the year, we are today at 70 days, which we have said, as Mr. Gujral earlier pointed out, that three parameters we have said that we will bring about reduction in working capital, we will ensure top-line growth, and we will ensure a balance of the margin to achieve over 9 to 10%. And we are there.
Okay. Perfect, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. If you take about, you mentioned that share of the ODM business, particularly in the consumer, was lower this time. I believe ODM is significantly high working capital cycle versus OEM. So despite lower share of ODM, we have not seen any improvement in the working capital cycle. So I just want to know the reason behind that. And can you help understand about, is there any material difference in the working capital cycle between auto, consumer, and other segment?
Sorry, I couldn't get the last part of your question.
Second thing is on, in segment-wise, be it auto, industrial, healthcare, is there any material difference in the working capital cycle?
In the?
Working capital cycle.
Okay. You see, typically in the industry as a thing, products which have a high margin would have a high working capital cycle because the volumes would be lower. The low margin products, the volumes would be higher, so the operational efficiencies both on asset turn and the working capital kick in. Now, we are very mindful of the overall thing. End of the day, we have to have a positive cash flow on a consistent basis, not quarter on quarter, but at least on a yearly basis, half yearly basis, due to a positive cash flow. The margins in ODM are 5 to 7% higher than the plain vanilla build products. But then it will also depend upon the industry which you are servicing. So, the working capital cycle in automotive, industrial, healthcare, by and large is same. There is no significant difference between the two. Now, if you are supplying to contracts which are with government, the working capital cycle could be very, very high, as some of the peers have in the industry, they have published information. But if you are supplying to the private sector, export, typical net working capital cycle should be about 80, 85 days. Coupled with other products, we brought it down to 70 days, and we expect to bring it down by another 5 to 7 days in the coming quarters.
So if you take about the second quarter, despite lower share of ODM, working capital is not reduced. I just want to understand the reason behind it.
In this second quarter, so like quarter on quarter, while we have been targeting to reduce the working capital, but quarter on quarter average, this is primarily like some in the customer related inventory is what we have got in the end of this quarter. So that's where there is a 3 days of difference. It has not reduced it, but these are some things like quarter on quarter variations which will keep on happening.
Okay, now just to add on to what Vijay said, as I shared in the beginning, that the customers, export customers which we have onboarded, we have procured inventories. I'm not saying the inventories have been procured for series production, which has to start in January or April of next year. But when you buy products for new customers and new products, when you buy the material, you are stuck up with the minimum order quantity or the sort of a size of a component of spool. The components typically come in a spool. So I may have to make 100 pieces, but I'm stuck up with 5,000 pieces of inventory because the minimum spool size is 5,000. So 3 days variation, which is less than 5% in terms of number of days, is a play of many factors. And one shipment for some reason gets late, you are stuck up with the inventory. So on a consistent basis, we have brought it down from upwards of 90 to 70. Now 70 becomes 67 or 65 or 72, 71, last year it was 67. That's a commercial play, and I think we should not be too sort of sensitive to it. These are commercial things. End of the day, what we are interested in knowing or what we look at is the trend right? Are we reducing the capital, working capital cycle or not? And there the trend is very, very discernible that yes, my teams have done a good job in bringing down the working capital cycle. And I think a good reference point will be to see what the other peers have done in the industry. To benchmark.
Also, as we grow at this rate, scorching rate with new capacities coming up, you have to stock up inventory for the next phase of the growth.
Understood it. So, if you take about 3-5 years down the line, what kind of operating cash flow to EBITDA ratio we are comfortable at?
So, we are targeting a OCF to EBITDA going forward on a steady basis, 50% plus. That's what is our clear target. We are continuously working towards it. In H1, this is still about 20%, but given the working capital efficiency which we are targeting for H2, we should be able to improve it further.
Sure. And just adding to that, since incrementally more growth is coming from healthcare or some export also, which are slightly heavy on the working capital cycle, is there any risk for the further increase in the working capital cycle in near term?
See, on an overall basis, I think we should be hovering at about 70 days. I'll be happy if we can bring it down by the 4, 5, 6 days. I don't personally foresee a significant uptake in the working capital number of days. But again, there's one caveat to it. When I start the manufacturing of series production for my export customers, then till the production cycle comes into being for a month, 2 months, my inventory levels could go up. And the sales would cook in 30 days, 40 days later. So I have to stock the inventory before to start the production. So month on month, there could be slight aberration. But on a long-term basis, with all the product mixes which we have got, we're very confident that we'll be south of 70 rather than north of 70 days.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Keyur Pandya from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just want clarification. So the kind of mix change you have seen within the consumer also, are we seeing based on our order book such changes in any of the other sub-segments, either positive or negative mix change in other segments? And the one clarification is that, so basically you are mentioning that by FY25, our mix would improve and that would give us not only growth but margin accretive growth, but that would be in FY25.
Yeah. You see, the product mix in FY24-25 in absolute figures will see an uptick in exports, will see an uptick in healthcare. But the domestic business would continue to go at the scorching pace of 60-70% of whatever it is, led by, I emphasize, on the consumer. So as percentages, the impact will not be that visible. It will be visible, but in absolute terms, the impact will be very, very discernible and therefore everyone to see. See, if my domestic business in the consumer segment goes up by 50%, so currently it's about 30%, 35% of 1300 crores. So it's about 1000 crores, what you call 500, 450, 490 crores. Now if on 5000 crores or 4000 crores, it is 30%, 40-35% will be 1200 crores, 1500 crores. So as a percentage, the impact will be there. But in absolute terms, the incremental revenue which I get from my export business, which I share, will be about 200 crores from the new customer and the healthcare business. It will have a positive impact on my bottom line in absolute figures and an uptick in the percentage also.
Okay, the first part, that any further mix change within sub-segments you are witnessing an invisibility based on your order book, the way you have seen in consumer between ODM and OEM.
See, the consumer is more of OEM is growing up. The ODM will kick in only next year, too early to say. ODM is accounting for about 17%. Next year I expect it to be higher. by about 3-4% more. So I should be at an ODM of about 20% minimum next year.
No, sir. Sir, the question was that such a mix change between ODM and OEM within consumer led to say change in margin mix in rest of the segments like auto, healthcare, industrial, etc. From current levels, are you seeing any change in the mix which can lead to fluctuation in margins if you have visibility based on your order book?
There is no change, significant change in the order book or the product mix which we will be supplying. So industrial is industrial. There is no significant difference between one industrial product to the other industrial product, and so is the case in automotive. What we believe is that with our increasing purchase spend, as we have already got some efficiency, 5% in the operating overhead over compared to the last year, my purchasing spend efficiency should kick in as my volumes go up. Some has already kicked in, some more will kick in, and we have constituted a special task force within the company to holistically look at it to see how we can bring in some percentage improvement in the material spec.
Okay, the second and last question.
The chicken, early days from the chicken, but they will surely be hatched.
Understood. So this last question, as you talked about, say, balance between margin and working capital, so how the working capital would be different for consumer segment versus rest of the segments?
Oh, there's a difference in the high volume. The working capital cycle is significantly lower. As I said, that industrial and automotive and all those things that have a working capital of 80, 85 days or whatever, 90 days. And if overall we are showing 70 odd days, it obviously shows that the consumer segment has a lower working capital cycle. So it is directly related to the margin. Low margin business inherently have an efficient working capital. High margin business, because the volumes are low, the varieties are large, the working capital cycle is a bit high. So this is intrinsically across the industries globally. So Foxconn is working on
range.
Yeah.
If you can just give some idea, not exact number, probably range would give more clarity.
Sorry, I couldn't get it.
If you can give some quantification on the range of working capital for say consumer and non-consumer businesses, that would be helpful.
Consumer, while the high volume business can be around somewhere around between 30 to 40 days, while the other businesses we are running between varying with a different kind of verticals, it is varying between 60 to 80 days. So that's where we see this average is about 70 days.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to limit their questions to one per participant. We'll take the next question from the line of Vishal Singh from Makrana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, this is Prabhjot from Makrana. I think a few people have asked this question and I think it's just important to get clarity here. So even if I adjust for the one-offs because of the acquisition, the ask rate for the margins for the second half is close to about 11.5%, which gets you to a full year number in the range of 9.2-9.3. So what is the visibility on that, number one? And number two is, Mr. Gujral, while I fully appreciate the way you look at things, which is as long as there is no deterioration in the margin of the products that you're supplying, and this is just a function of change of the composition, I think what people, including us, are trying to get our head around is, so this is essentially the second quarter running where margins have come out lower, driven by the consumer business. So I think what people are trying to figure out is when you look forward, how does the business shape up? Because if the business is going to be consumer heavy, then clearly the margins will structurally be lower, while obviously growth can be higher and absolute number can be the same or give or take. So how do you think about that? Because I think, and if that dynamic changes, I think just more visibility around, okay, look, this is where we are today. Over the next 18 to 24 months, this is how we get to that double digit, you know, like you said, exports 2-3% higher. You know, obviously your peers in the business are getting a lot of orders in railways, which obviously continues to do heavy capex. So there's maybe more visibility around that path to double digit or not, if consumer is going to be just a bigger component structurally.
See, in the short term, which is a couple of quarters, the consumer would be a heavy weight in our portfolio. In the long run, once the exports and other products kick in, it will come back to its normal percentage. We would love to have no industry segment accounting for more than 25% of our revenue on a long-term basis. That's a sort of objective which we have set for ourselves. But aberrations within the quarters do happen. And as I shared in one of my earlier questions, we have not factored in any PLI benefit for the current year or whatever. So hypothetically, if I was to take a PLI on an accrual basis, which I will not as a conservative entrepreneur, my margins go up by another 0.8% because of the PLI itself. Long-term consumers should be around 30% plus. I don't see it coming down to 25% in the near future. When I say near future, even in 24-25. Thereafter, it's too early to guess how the things pan out. But I would expect consumer to be about 30%, exports to go up to absolute figure, very good figure, it should be 30% plus. And once my design efforts kick in, and we have hired resources, marketing resources in US and England, London, to spearhead the design marketing, I think we are there with the figures of the EBITDA margin which we have taken.
Mr. Vizal, one other question. So I understand exports, I understand consumer. What about the other, which was the whole thesis around import substitution, now whether that is industrial, railways? How do you think about that business and the growth in that business?
See, industrial railways are a long haul. The values will not be very significant in the short term. They have a long gestation period. As I shared in my last call, we got the RDS for approval and we expect to do railway business of about 70 crores up from about 35-40 crores last year. Now, even if that 70 crore was to double next year to 140 crores, it's 100% growth. But 140% growth, if I close at whatever figure we believe this year, and I was to grow at 40%, 140 crores will be, what, 3-3.5-4% of my total revenue?
Correct.
On a conservative basis. So, the import substitution in the consumer has the impact of what you call it, when you take a paracetamol, it reduces the temperature immediately. So the import substitution in consumer space has a very short gestation period. Import substitution in industrial, railways, aerospace and the like has a high gestation period. So you have to work on the patient to make him healthy. So these are the buckets where we are working for the long-term health. But consumer business is available today because of the import substitution, and hence this sort of mismatch in the portfolio.
Understood. And maybe you can take this offline. So well understood on the short-term impact of consumer. It will be just helpful when you look at other domestic substitution opportunities, kind of how does that roadmap look like, you know, over the next 2-3-4 years. But this is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So can you talk about the diversification, industry diversification from the existing business, like focusing on clean energy or A&D and telecom?
See, what we are focusing on is our core competency of design-led manufacturing. So with our renewed focus on the design efforts in the company, we would see and are seeing sort of green shoots of new verticals and areas opening up. Too early to put a quantified figure on it that this will result into an X revenue or Y revenue, but the democratization of the revenue of our industrial verticals would be there. But I don't see them displacing the three dominant verticals which we are working, which is automotive, industrial, and consumer. They would continue because they have a very high base today. A new vertical, say, for example, in the renewable energy space comes up. So it will be starting from scratch. So starting from scratch to become a percentage in the overall revenue will take time. But our engineering teams are working on it, and we are sort of very confident that going forward, the five verticals on the basis which we'll be growing is automotive. Automotive would be mobility as well as infrastructure. It will be industrial, and industrial, the utility metering would be one of the dominant players, apart from power management systems and other things. Aircon business would be a good business in the coming years. We have already started doing reasonably good revenues. We are tied up with a leading Japanese manufacturer in the country, and we are servicing his products. IoT would come in, but the IoT value would be small, but it will be margin accretive. And one stream which we have started focusing on is the engineering services stream. Too early to say how much it will generate, but hypothetically, if it was to generate a 30 crore revenue in a year, there the typical EBITDA is about 45-50%. So 15 crores is direct to the bottom line without any material cost. So the design and engineering services is focused on two branches. One is the ODM development and one is the services business. So with all these factors, with the healthcare coming in, the PLI coming in, I'm very confident that what we had set out on a long-term basis of a reasonably high margin business with huge volumes from 1,000 crores if you go up to 4,000-5,000 crores, and you are able to get that without significantly compromising on EBITDA margins, the absolute cake and pie which is available is very good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Swati Jhunjhunwala from BOB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my question. Most of them have been answered, just two quick ones. First, you said that ODM contribution was 17% in consumer for this quarter. So how much was this last year? And second, on the revenue guidance, you said 3,000 crores for the full year. So is that including the 100 crores of Jewelry that we expect in H2, or is that excluding that?
We currently have not factored in the Jewelry revenues in our business plan. So whether it is 3,000 or 2,900 or 3,100, with what the figures when I say that we do 45% of whatever in the career of our first half, it's all organic, it's not including inorganic. So that should answer that question. On the ODM share in the last year, my personal gut feel is, it was 22%. In the consumer space, I'll have to get back to you. What was the percentage last year? I'll ask Vijay to get back to you offline. I don't have the figures. But my personal hunch is that it will be significantly higher in consumer.
So last year, it was about 28% ODM share in consumer.
In consumer. And this year, it was?
This year?
The 17% this year was for the entire business.
Because healthcare and consumer are two separate products and classified in ODM, So I'll get back to you that question part with my team on the component, the breakup of the consumer business between ODM and non-ODM.
And
with me, we'll get back to you.
Yeah, and also if you could share what is the mix in H2 that you are expecting for ODM?
Sorry?
What is the ODM share that you are expecting in H2 FY24?
I think we'll continue the ODM because the OEM business will go at a much faster pace. I think on the organic basis, my ODM share should be same as about this year, which is 17-18%. But with the inorganic sort of consolidation of figures, it should go up.
Got it. All right. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Thank you. As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jasbir Kuchwal, Managing Director, Syrma SGS Technology Limited, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Pleasure answering all your questions. If you have still some queries, please get back to Nikhil Gupta, our Investor Relations Head, so that he can answer all those queries. On a closing note, I would just like to state very shortly that we are focused on building a long-term sustainable organization, which, as I have always been saying, grows at a rate higher than the industry average, which we have demonstrated in the last several quarters. Superior profit margins, which we have lagged slightly because of one-time expenses and the structural change in the product mix, it takes time to get back to the original structure. Now, I would like to share with you what we are doing in the organization building. That's the key when a company is graduating from a 1,000 crore rupees to a $1 billion company, whenever that may happen in the near future. The organizations have to be in place and the system and processes have to work. And our teams are working very, very seriously on this. Now, I'm happy to share with you that we got a IPC 610 class 1, 2, 3 certification, and we are the only second company in the country to have this certification. The certification of class 1, 2, 3 sort of qualifies me for my international business to cater to consumer, industrial, automotive, and aerospace. The only other company which got this certification in November of 22 was SFO Technologies. Besides that, Siemens is the only company which has a class 2 certification, which means they are not qualified as per the certification of aerospace automotive. Now, these processes and systems take a lot of time, a lot of cost, but they are enabling the organization to be future ready. As we have shared in our presentation, we have been listed among the top 200 Forbes growing companies. So all this is a demonstration of the effort of the team. I am just a cog in the wheel. It's the team which delivers. So anything which has happened positive in the organization is full credit to the team. And any negative or any aberrations which have happened, it is the leadership which has to take the sort of responsibility. I would only assure you that we are very, very focused on growth, profitability, social responsibility. For example, we have set ourselves a target of 50% sourcing of energy from green sources. And we are entering into long-term contracts to ensure that, which will not only be positive in terms of carbon footprint and generation, we'll be reducing that, but it will also be saving on the energy cost. Next quarter when I meet you, I'll have even better information and news, and I'm very confident of the long-term growth of the company. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.